This episode of Creative Pursuit is sponsored by Melanifits. Melanifits provides work for benefits. As a team member, you can receive healthcare, retirement, or even student loan benefits by helping a local business for just a few hours each week. And so the rest of the week, you can spend doing what you love. Or if you're a business owner and need some extra hands, Melanifits can help you tackle your to-do list with one of their team members. Find out more at melanifits.com. That's MILLENEFITS.com. Melanifits, benefits for the way we work in the new millennium.
Welcome to the Creative Pursuit Podcast. In each episode, we chat with entrepreneurs and freelancers in the creative field. We dive into how they got started and how they grew their business to provide you with insights and motivation so that you too can pursue your creative passion. We believe you should enjoy the work you do, and that the biggest challenge is to just get started. Check out our website, creativepursuit.co, for show notes and more info about the creatives featured in each episode. Now, here's your host, Darren Young.
Hey everyone, thanks as always for tuning in to the Creative Pursuit Podcast. This episode is going to be a little different. On this episode, I chat with Matt Neff of the Entre Nido podcast. Matt and I are both in Columbus, Ohio, and we met at the Columbus Podcasters Meetup a while back, and we just happened to run into each other last month at the Podcast Movement in Anaheim. And so this episode is going to be a recap of our thoughts and takeaways from Podcast Movement. If you're a podcaster as well, or if you're thinking about being a podcaster, the Podcast Movement is a good conference to attend. This was both of our first time to attend. I think this was the third or fourth year it's been going on, and I'm definitely going to attend next year. Next year will be in Philadelphia, so mark your calendars for that one. So this episode is going to be a recap of Podcast Movement 2017. So hope you like it. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get started. Hey everyone, this is Darren Young from the Creative Pursuit Podcast, and I'm here with
Matt Neff from Entre Nido. Yeah, my show too, Entre Nido Podcast, is also very similar to Darren's, where he focuses on talking to more creatives. I'll talk to anybody who will talk to me, which is a lot of fun. So we work on helping people make the jump from the 9-to-5 side hustles with inspirational stories from business owners and entrepreneurs, people that are out there that have done it, and is such a shot in the arm, such a kind of a vitamin B shot to help people realize, like, if they can do it, I can do it, and here's how. So that's what we do. That's what we focus on. That's our avatar, if you will. We can talk about that later on as well.
And both Matt and I, we're both based in Columbus, Ohio, and we both met at the Columbus Podcast Meetup. And if you're in or around Columbus, that meetup does happen it's the fourth Tuesday of every month. Just go ahead and sign up, or if you're not already signed up, go ahead to meetup.com, become a member, and then you can join the meetup. There's a lot of good people that come to it, a lot of good information, and I mean, it's all around a good meetup to attend.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I appreciate you. That's where you and I met, and you created this awesome columbuspodcast.com website, which is very helpful. So make sure if you are in Columbus that you check that out as well, and contact Darren.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot to. I guess I should throw that in there whenever I have a chance. Yeah, columbuspodcast.com, so podcasts, plural. And I created it as a free directory for podcasts that are based in or around Columbus, Ohio. So there's no specific theme that your podcast needs to be in, as long as you, or if you have multiple hosts, as long as one of you are based or live in and around Columbus, I'm definitely willing to get your podcast up there and just have it listed. I think right now, I haven't counted, but there's definitely over 20 podcasts listed right now, and Matt's, yours is up there as well. There's a lot of good podcasts, so if you're interested and curious about other podcasts in Columbus, go ahead and check it out, columbuspodcasts.com.
Awesome.
Matt and I, so we also happen to both attend the Podcast Movement 2017, which happened in Anaheim, California, from August 23rd. To August 25th, and I actually bought my ticket back in January, and I had no idea that, Matt, that you were going to be there, and it was good to run into you there.
Yeah. We were in the orientation class, and you walked past me. I was like, Darren Young from Columbus? I felt very alone. I was like, I'm just going to do this, and I was shocked. There's quite a few Columbus people there, which was really, really fun.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, I was like, I didn't expect to see... I mean, I knew one other guy that we met, Kwame Christian, That he was going to be there, but I didn't have any or thought that anyone else from Columbus was going to be there. But did you meet other people as well?
So there was a couple, my friend Cody, who has business called Podcast Masters, and a couple other people I'm trying to think of. Mostly yourself, Cody, the one lady that has the meditation podcast. I forget her name off the top of my head. She was there as well. I think she actually spoke at 1.2, but yeah, it was really cool. I wasn't sure what to expect, but it was fun.
Yeah, for this show, we're kind of changing things up from our usual formats, but we thought to just have like kind of a recap of Podcast Movement, what we thought of it, our takeaways, and also mainly for people that haven't attended, to just so you can get a feel of what it is, what goes on there, and maybe you'll want to attend next year. They've already announced next year's Podcast Movement. It will be, I forget the exact date, but I believe it's in July, and it will be in
July
Philadelphia.
24th through the 26th. 24th, I remember because it's my wife's birthday, so I had to ask permission if it was okay.
So you're
still
already
waiting to hear back on that, though.
Oh, okay.
So, stay tuned. I was surprised too at the price, because I was kind of late to the game, and so I think the cost for the ticket, pretty much the last pricing was $450, $455. So I emailed people at Podcast Move, and I said, "Is there any like first time coupons or, you know, like a 5% or 10% off code, you know?" And they said, "Actually, we can give you Christmas in July." And they gave me $100 off my ticket. So I got it for $350, which was, that was it. Once they did that, I was like, okay, I'm definitely going, which was great. So,
oh, wow. So that's, I mean, actually worked out to just contact them directly and they gave you a code or a discount.
Yeah. I didn't think they would, but I thought, let me ask. And I think when you initially sign up, probably in January, you probably paid way less than, I think it's like $200 or something when you first sign up really early bird.
I think I paid $300, but that was just a regular ticket. I didn't do next level up for the recordings. I've been waiting to hear from them how I can just add on, like I'll pay for the access to the recordings they had. But they said they were going to send out another email to everyone, just like a promotional, like if anyone that didn't sign up, you can sign up now and get access to the recordings. But I haven't seen anything, or unless you saw something. I know they've just been emailing about the next year's one.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen anything yet with a link. The one thing they mentioned, though, too, was funny. They're like, yeah, if you sign up, it takes 4 to 6 weeks to get your recordings. I'm like, what? Like 4 to 6 weeks? Can't you just upload it to some sort of mega Dropbox and then send me the link in 30 seconds? I just thought it was incredible. I was like, we're not duplicating tapes, you know? Like, so that was an interesting point. Like 4 to 6 weeks. It's incredible.
Since I do video, I can kind of, I think that's about right, just because, I mean, you can imagine how many talks were going on, how many cameras, how many recordings there are, and even though it's relatively simple editing, they still have to sync up the audio to the video. Someone has to render that, then you have to upload it. So,
well, I was thinking it was just MP3, so I misunderstood then. Thought it was just MP3 files. I was like, man, 4 to 6 weeks, that just seems really crazy. But so it's video. That's cool.
Yeah, each of the rooms had a camera in the back, and so I believe that's what they're going to be doing. They're going to have the actual videos uploaded somewhere that everyone can actually watch, maybe listen to. I mean, that would make sense to just listen, but they definitely did record it with video as well.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that'll be really nice for sure.
Yeah. So that was actually when I first signed up, I think it was just a $50 additional on top of the regular ticket. And I was like, I don't really need that. But now looking back on it, how many talks there were, all the recordings, $50 is definitely worth it.
Yeah, considering there were 5 to 6 going on at the same time, was like, how do you choose? You know, some were easier than others to choose from, but I'm like, I want to go to these three. So
I know. Each hour there was like at least 2 or 3 talks that I want to be in, and it's like, well, you have to choose one. So yeah.
Or get up and leave. And you know, I'm a strict rule follower, so I'm like, no way, I can't leave. You know, some people wouldn't even go to the class. I'm like, what's wrong? You guys got to get to class. It's just so funny.
Oh, if they didn't make it on time, they wouldn't even want to walk in.
Well, they would just hang out in the lobby and talk the whole time. And I'm like, you guys spend a lot of money to get here. You just want to hang out and talk. But I know there's also value in, you know, networking and talking and things like that. But I was like, I don't know, me just being the prude rule follower.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's just so many things going on because, yeah, you can either go to the talks or you can still hang out in the lobby and just network with others. There's also the vendor area that you can walk around, talk to other vendors. So, yeah, there's just a lot of things going on. And there's no way you can fit you just feel really like, I just felt overwhelmed. It's like, I want to be in five places at the same time, but it's not possible.
Yeah, drinking from a fire hose for sure.
Yeah. So let's get into what, you know, our thoughts and takeaways from the podcast movement. So Matt, what were some of the talks that you, that were memorable to you and that you liked?
There were quite a few. I have some notes here, some highlights. John Lee Dumas was very good. I feel some of the lingo I didn't understand at first, but I was like, I think, I don't know what he's talking about, like avatar and CTA. These are probably really basic things, but I had no idea. So when he was talking about the avatar, that was one of the first talks with Pat Flynn and Amy, is it Porterfield, I believe?
Oh, I was in that one too.
Were you in that one? Yeah, so that was cool. And that really fits for kind of your podcast style, my podcast style of interviewing business owners and entrepreneurs. And these are the titans of their fields, you know. So yeah, when he was talking about the avatar, I didn't really know what that meant. I was thinking the movie, and then I was thinking some sort of like, you know, online Xbox Live gaming thing. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about with the avatar, but essentially the person that, who is that person for you? What do they look like? How old are they? What's their story? That was really helpful for me too. They talked a lot about finding your niche or your niche. And I've heard that for a while, and to me, it seems so counterintuitive, but these people are pros and they know what they're doing. So I have to go by their judgment. And so I've been working on that as well to find that niche, because I just feel like I'm going to run out of content. I'm like, I feel like I'm painting myself into a corner, but evidently there's plenty of content, and it makes your brain kind of think outside the box of like, okay, how can I do this? Or how can I spin this in such a way to make a perfect talk for my listener, my avatar there. So the avatar talk was great. Call to action, the CTA was really good as far as getting people, asking people to do things, I think is a really powerful thing as well. We don't ask a lot of times. For example, my reviews on iTunes were like maybe 13, 14 I had for the show. And I just started being a little bit more bold and asking people like, hey, would you mind reviewing the podcast? Here's how it is, and trying to make it as easy as possible for my people that listen to it. And I'm up to 30 now, which is pretty cool. So I've had like, you know, 1,000% increase or whatever the percentage would be of that. But
oh, wow. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So just directly asking people like, hey, would you take, it takes 30 seconds. Here's a link. Can I text you and ask you to review the show? And 80% of the people do when I ask them. But before I was doing it on the show, like the intro and the outro, and I don't get anybody to do it. So direct call to action would be that part. Yeah. And I have all my notes here. I can go through as far as like different talks. So I don't know if you wanted to mention something too. I want to get your input as well.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, you can go ahead and then we can change over to me, or I'll add in any comments that your notes trigger as well.
Yeah. Great. So the next one was Kate Erickson. I found out she was dating John Lee Dumas. I didn't know that. I learned a lot about different...
Oh, okay. I heard other people that I was sitting next to, and I was in that one too. And then they were saying like that they were married or I wasn't sure.
Some sort of relationship there. So I was like, oh, okay, great. She had really good slides as well, which don't translate onto an audio podcast, I know. But different things she mentioned, some highlights. She said three things that are required for growth and monetization. Monetization is, one is valuable content. Two is consistent content. Three is purposeful content. And she broke all those down on her slides, which was really good. Asked a lot of good questions. I wasn't able to keep up with all of the notes there, but I got those three main highlights about valuable, consistent, and purposeful content is just really good to keep myself focused to. I have a friend who owns a coffee shop in my hometown, and he would talk to me about the show, and he's like, I like the show. He's like, but I just need to know what the takeaway is. So in our early days, I would try to do that, but I wasn't really focused on it. So just having that question in front of me of what is the takeaway, the person, the perfect avatar, the person that's listening to this, the person I want to help and get this information to, how can I make this more concise and break it down so it's easy to remember and they can apply to their life and start change, life change right there. So Kate's was really good, even though I don't have a ton of notes for it. Chris Gillibo, I believe is how you pronounce his last name, from Side Hustle School. Great presentation. I love his logo. It's incredible for Side Hustle School. And great slides as well. Some highlights that he said were, if you're not early to the show or early to the field that you're talking about, just be different. So if you're not early, be different. That was really good. Helped me think outside the box. he said, this one was probably one of the biggest questions, and I heard on a consistent basis, but it really hit me, was he was tired of hearing the question, what's your backstory? Which is one of my favorite questions because I love backstory all the time. And so he's like, oh, enough of the, you know, what's your backstory? I'm like, oh, that it really challenged me because, you know, our show flow as of today is we do plugs, we do backstory, like what you do now, how you got there, free flow questions, rapid fire round, plugs, and then a final thought, and we're done. So I was like, man, that's like 15 minutes of content. You know, this backstory can go from 15 minutes to an hour, and I can get a lot of episodes out of here and then cut them up. But it was a good challenge for me to really realize, what do I like, what should I stay true to, and then what should I think about, you know, not being lazy and trying to get a little bit more thoughtful on the show flow and things like that. So mm-hmm. Yeah, he was tired of hearing what's your backstory, which is really funny to me. I was like, man, it's my favorite question. He prefers personally, Chris from Side Hustle School prefers short episodes for busy people. So some people, they love a 30-minute, hour and a half, or a 4-hour Joe Rogan or Dan Carlin type of interview. But I kind of agree. I like the leaving them with wanting more. 15 to 30 minutes, 35 minutes is good for me. I find that works best for me. And a lot of people that listen, they like to commute. So they're commuting from their house to their job, and it's a 20 to 30, 40-minute drive, and they love to be able to finish it and have it done before they get there. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. Let's do that then. That's what my avatar wants. That's what we're going to do, you know? Some other thoughts he mentioned was everyone should have a side hustle. I thought that was interesting because I don't know. I just, you know, I think in life when you like something a lot, you feel like everyone else should like it, or you view the world through podcast colored glasses, you know, just because we love podcasting so much, it might not be the best medium. Some people may like video, or some people may like, you know, poetry or music and never listen to interviews, or some people love audiobooks. And so it's just interesting tastes. So for me, I love Side Hustle because I've seen it change my life in a major way and help other people, you know, families that are struggling or stressed out by finances. And finance is a huge thing, cause of divorce in people's lives, where I think at one point it was 70% of marriages fail because, or are stressed out because they are worried about money. So if I can bring a side hustle to a single mom or a husband or wife that are need some extra money, I love to hear those things and then share those things out. So it's, to me, it's more than just like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's fun. You know, it's a hobby. It's like, yeah, I agree with that. But I think also it's great to, it can really help people's lives and families. Yeah. So that was kind of what I got from Chris, and I've got a lot more, as well, but, I don't want to talk the whole time. I want you to be able to talk as well. This is your show. But yeah, I was just curious what your thoughts were or what stood out to you.
I didn't take as detailed notes as you did. So I'm just kind of just taking things off the top of my head of what I remembered. But yeah, sure. I did like that first talk you mentioned with Pat Flynn and John Lee Dumas and Amy Porterfield, yeah, that's right, sorry. Like that was the first talk of Wednesday, and I was like, wow, that's, you know, those are three people that I've listened to before, and just having them all in one room, regardless of what they were going to talk about, I wanted to attend just to see them and hear what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. But actually, yes, a lot of the talks throughout Podcast Movement were mostly focused on monetization or making money, and I'm not sure if a lot of listeners that are only podcast listeners, they actually may not like the fact that there's so much ads nowadays or mm-hmm. trying to monetize. But the thing is, you know, podcasting does cost money, and it does take a lot of, even besides the money of the equipment, does take a lot of time. And, you know, it's good to at least get some income from that to at least, you know, offset expenses, or also even turn into a full-fledged business, with which a lot of podcasters have done. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also, I mean, I think people get into podcasting for the love of their topic that they want to have, or talking to people, and then start thinking about monetization later, just because once you start it for the love of it, then you realize, wow, this is taking a lot of time. I need something to, like, you know, make this sustainable, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So there were a lot of talks about monetization. I can't remember exactly which talk it was that I attended, but I think it was like a panel talk. But yeah, they were just talking about monetization and having a sales funnel, having a call to action, which I already knew in business, but I haven't really, I guess, put too much thought to it for my own podcast. So after hearing that, and just, I think it's just hearing it, it just kind of helps you think about it more and make a strategy behind it. So now I'm going to sit down at some point and try to figure out a way to, yeah, like you were saying, kind of make, change the format so that there is a way that it kind of does lead to some type of call to action later. I'm not sure what that's going to be. And then at the same time, I don't want it to be I don't want my podcast to become just focused on making money.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't sound authentic, but there has to be some way to make it, there has to be a balance to make it have a call to action, but also still keep it authentic and the way it is now. So that's what I'm going to have to work on in the future. And there was another talk with the guy from Audacity to Podcasts, how to get and use more podcast reviews, with Daniel J. Lewis of the Audacity to Podcasts.
Okay.
And if you don't know who he is, he has a podcast about podcasting. So it's kind of meta, but he has a lot of episodes, a lot of good content, and he also has videos too. Yeah, so he has a lot of information about how to podcast. So if you're out there and thinking about having your own podcast, his podcast is definitely good to check out, because he'll go from the very beginner things, and then he'll also do very advanced things as well. So even for advanced people, I mean, he has a lot of good tips and topics about podcasting. But anyway, so his talk was about how to get and increase your podcast reviews. And so what he was saying is basically, I'm sure everyone in podcasting, they always hear like, you have to get more podcast reviews and that'll increase your ranking and that'll increase your awareness in like the podcast app or other podcast apps. But what he was saying is that's partially true, but it's not mainly, like people always say when you first launch on podcast, you got to drop 3 episodes at once so that people download it, and then you'll get in a new and noteworthy section on the podcast app. But he was saying like he actually had some screenshots with it within the top charts of Apple's podcast apps, and he was showing, like, I think he showed Serial. So of course Serial is very, very popular.
Right.
They had like 5 figures of reviews, and they weren't number one, but because it's already been out for a while, but the fact that they're still there, I mean, it is significant. But they're somewhere in the top 10, whereas he showed another one, I think it was the NPR podcast. I wasn't sure which one, but that one only had maybe 1,000 or so reviews, but that one was ranked higher. So while 1,000 is still a lot compared to Serial's reviews, I mean, that's very little in comparison. But so he said, basically, there's no one, you can't really know for certain because Apple doesn't release the exact information of how they rank things. But based on what he's done, what he's researched, what he's experienced from other people, he feels that the rankings are more affected by your subscribers. And it's either, there's some kind of formula that they use, which is the subscribers in a certain amount of time. And I mean, there's probably some way that they use total subscribers, and also how many subscribers you're getting in maybe like a month or so. And that's what's going to get you in top in the charts or in a new and noteworthy. So of course, podcast reviews won't hurt, of course, but he thinks it's not really, the subscribers are more important than the reviews if you're trying to rank and get in the top charts of Apple.
That's cool. And I heard a stat the other day that if you get to new and noteworthy, it's like landing on page one on Google.
Yeah,
something like that. Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that big of a deal. With our other show, which we don't have anymore, the 99 Laughs podcast, we made it to that at one point. We made it to new and noteworthy. I don't know how. It was lucky. And we made it to like rank 178 on the comedy charts for like 2 days.
Oh,
and then
awesome.
We dropped. And then we were just disappeared like without a trace. But yeah, it was cool. It was like I screenshotted the crap out of it. Of course, you know, I was like, oh, because podcasters can tend to be narcissistic. So, yes.
How did you know that you were in there? You were just scrolling through the charts?
Yeah. I think my co-host was like, texted me. He's like, no way, dude, no way. I was like, what? What did you do? Did you Photoshop this? And sure enough, it was there, new and noteworthy. So I screenshotted it somewhere. But yeah, it was really cool. I don't know what we did, but we got there somehow.
Well, so, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so it was fun. I haven't gotten there yet with Entre Nido, but it's probably too late now since we've been out for about a year and a half. But yeah, it's interesting. So yeah, and I think too about, you know, all these, like, just this, it's one of two things. The podcast movement was great, but one of two things. One, it's either you meet someone who's extremely narcissistic, which I have been before, where it's all about my show and my reviews and my website and my this and my that and my name and all this other things. And then there's another, which I think is, that's a small majority, but the other majority is just very helpful. People are extremely helpful. They'll help you for free. They'll share things out. They'll connect with you. They'll follow up with you. And that's what I felt. It was very positive feel and mood in all the rooms that I was in. But yeah, you get that the narcissistic thing where it's like, you know, I have a friend that does marketing for dental offices and things like that. And I thought, man, talk about niche things. And yeah, you know, he has an incredible YouTube channel, and videos that he does are really top-notch music and graphics and videos and editing. And I think he would get like 50 to 75 to 100 views on YouTube. And I kind of felt bad for him. He's like, oh, don't worry about me. He's like, I do great. I get so many bookings from that and make so much money off of the 50 to 75 or 100 views that it's totally fine. So it's like, oh, okay. So I think at times we get so focused on, myself included, what are my reviews? What are, how many subscribers do I have? How many listens? Oh, we got a bump here. Okay, I wonder why. Da da da. And it's important to me, but I also just want to enjoy it. I get so caught up in managing the machine and managing these numbers that I'm like, am I even enjoying what I'm doing anymore? You know, so I try to balance that out with being driven and focused and making the best show you can and improving all the time, but then also like have fun as well.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, if you're not having fun, there's, yeah, you're definitely going to lose the interest to do it, and eventually you're just going to stop. So
yeah, yep.
Another thing too is you can't get reviews until, or even subscribers until, more and more people know about your podcast. So there was other talks about, yeah, how to increase your audience, things like that. And I think, as for me, when I first started listening to podcasts, I did go through the top charts of like the podcast app, just seeing like what's popular, and then mm-hmm. going from there, kind of seeing what looked interesting. But nowadays, I hardly even look at the top charts. Most of the podcasts I find and subscribe to are either, now they do the cross promotion on other podcasts. So one podcast will mention like, oh, check out this new podcast. If you like this podcast, you like this one.
Sure.
Or just by word of mouth. So that's actually how I've been finding out more about other podcasts lately.
Yeah.
So for you, how do you find out about podcasts that you listen to?
Yeah, it's mostly the same way. It's word of mouth. There's a lot of power in that. So a host or guest or whoever, people that I like and that I trust, they'll say, oh, you got to check out da da da. So I'll go over, download it as I'm, if they put it in the show notes, that really makes it nice, and I'll click the hyperlink mm-hmm. there. But if not, I'll just pause it and type that in and then hit subscribe or download the first episode or whatever and get that started. And yeah, it doesn't always work out, but it's been pretty helpful. There's some where it was like these kind of like murder podcasts I listened to one. I was like, well, this is way too intense for me. I can't handle this. So I think it's like Sword and Scale. I don't know if you've, it's a very popular podcast, but I was like, whoa, this is like a car accident. Like, oh my gosh, it was really, really heavy content, but I can see why it's popular, you know?
Yeah. And actually one of the other podcasts that became, well, has become really popular, that Missing Richard Simmons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I actually found out about that podcast, not by actually hearing about it, but just by reading articles online. All of a sudden, I kept seeing you know, article headline or article titles about Missing Richard Simmons and talking mm-hmm. about it. So it's like, oh, okay, I guess I should check this out and see what all the fuss is about. And yeah, it's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, a friend of mine told me about it, which goes back to my, you know, of course, the law of someone, a friend refers something to me, and I trust them, so I'll usually check it out. I'm way more... I'm definitely going to check it out if a friend recommends it, for sure. But I went to Dan Tabirsky, I think is his name. I went to his talk. Did you go to that one? He was at Podcast Movement.
No, that was one of the ones I wanted to, but I went to another one instead.
Yeah, I was excited to try that one because my friend told me about it. I never listened to it, and I saw his interview or heard his interview, and it was good, but I didn't really have the backstory to understand the questions, but it was really well done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was, yeah, I listened to all those episodes. They were 25 to 30 minutes long, 6 episodes, and they do such a good job. Just, I didn't know about this. So Dan did an incredible job with editing, and the whole team that that did that podcast. That was really interesting. And I was like, I've never thought about Richard Simmons so much in my life until
me neither.
I listened to it. It was incredible. You know, I've thought about like 3 times in 37 years of being on this earth. And for like that week, I was like, oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I wonder what's going on. Was it the housekeeper or what's happening? Did he have a stroke or what's, you know, so really, really well done to for me to ask all these questions. It's like brilliant work, Dan. Brilliant work.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about storytelling and just captivating the audience to want to hear more. And I think I started listening to it when there was already about a few episodes out, so I binged the whatever episodes were already out into the most recent one, and I found myself like, yeah, just waiting for the next ones to release, kind of like watch or waiting for the next episode of a TV show to come out, you know. So yeah, it was really interesting.
It was great, and it was a nice offshoot from what I've been listening to at the other talks. You know, it's essentially how do you monetize your podcast? Like the question is how do you make money on your podcast? But at Podcast Movement, it felt like it was the same class at times with framed in 27 different ways. Like how many times can we say, you know, how do I make money or making money or monetization? Just all these different titles. So for that, it was just kind of an offshoot from, let me just take a break from being so analytical. Let me just listen to a story and about a person's life and their interactions with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if there were any downsides to Podcast Movement, I think that was actually one of the bigger complaints that I've actually heard from others as well, that there were just so many talks on monetization or ads or things like that, that while it is important and that is what a lot of people want to hear about, I think there was just a little bit too much of it, where it would have been nice to have other types of topics like the missing Richard Simmons, or just having another famous podcaster just come in and talk about how they got started, what was the motivation behind it,
right,
and not really talk about how much money they're making, but just the idea of it, because, you know, every podcast starts from somewhere. So I think that would have been good to have other variety of talks instead of just monetization ads and all those other things.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's probably, I'm sure they did some sort of email or research that, okay, what's the biggest thing people want to know about? And everybody wants to get paid to do what they love. And I get it. That's a great thing you should go for if you can. But yeah, after a while, it's just like, oh, okay, geez, a wheeze. I'd rather just try to help other people. Like, okay, this is what I want. And like you said earlier, I love getting reviews and I want to get as many reviews as I can, because it is nice to see that. It makes me, you know, feel warm and fuzzy inside when you get a new one. You're like, oh, what'd they say? And then if someone's glancing at the show, it's like, oh, wow, 500 people have reviewed this. This must be legit. I'm a huge Yelp guy too. I don't know if you use Yelp much. I'm like, yeah, I'm word on the street's word on the street, and I can trust it. So if someone's, if a restaurant gets 2,000 reviews, four and a half or 4 out of 5 stars, I'm going to totally check that out versus the one that had 173. You know, it's like, I don't know. I'm just, it's the way I am. It's the mass media, mass mindset.
I'm the same way too. Just like Yelp reviews, podcast reviews. You're not going to go through there and read all the reviews, but if you see a lot of reviews that are 4 or 5 stars, then okay, that must mean something, because all of these people that don't know each other all gave the same or good reviews, so
right,
it must be good,
right? Yeah, so it's good. But yeah, just some real brief other thoughts I had. Some other highlights were Lee Goldstein's How People Listen to Podcasts was really insightful. They did a great job with the, you know, instead of just the standard format of one person talking like a monologue and giving a lecture, or a person interviewing a person like a finding Richard Simmons or missing Richard Simmons. It was nice. The two guys had video clips that they showed, and it was pretty hilarious, the setup. The content was good. The audio was pretty horrible. And it was like, you know, like on Dateline NBC when they have like a person in custody and they have like that side table where there's like the FBI detectives on the left and then the perpetrators on the right. And it was similar to that, but it was like an overshot over the host's head, like looking down, and it just looked real like, I don't know, it just looked really, I don't know, Dateline NBC-ish, if that's a thing. And but it was good, you know, that they had these people on there say, okay, they'd ask a question like, how do you listen to podcasts? And then it would go to these video clips of maybe 8 to 10 different people from all walks of life in New York City. And they also did the stats, they also did from all over the nation, but the people in the video were just consolidated to New York. And yeah, it was interesting. Like, what do you listen to? I listen to S-Town. I listen to you know, Serial, I listen to this, and then how, and then they would say, okay, now how long do you listen for? And they would talk about that live in the talk that we were in the room with, and then we go back to the video as well. Like, okay, and then they would answer, and so that was really well done, really insightful. Everyone's taking screenshots of the screens when they put these stats up and things. But yeah, it was really helpful to figure out what works, what doesn't work. And essentially, though, I mean, you can drive yourself crazy with stats and figures, and because then there's always the people that are like, I don't even, you know, the people that had the main keynotes were like, yeah, I don't even, wasn't even trying to make this a podcast. And you're like, oh, shut up, you know, I'm trying, I'm spending hundreds of hours to do this. And like, oh, yeah, I didn't even know what a podcast was. I'm like, shut up, please stop saying that, you know, which I'm joking, of course. But, you know, it was just funny, like, wow, you just tripped into the success. That's incredible. And disheartening at the same time. At one point, I do remember the Anaheim Convention Center that's, you know, right next to the Marriott. I was out there. I called my wife, and I was probably tired, and, you know, I was kind of whiny. And I was just like, man, it felt like everybody I met had at least 1,000 reviews and all these shows, and I'm like making $5,000 a month and all these, you know, making all this money, all these reviews, really popular. And then you hear talks about people that are just so successful. And it was just, I was getting a little discouraged because I'm like, man, I feel like I have the worst podcast in the history of podcasting, which is, an oversight or totally an overshot. But I whined to my wife for a little bit and then I was fine. But then I went and had like chicken and waffles at Roscoe's and it made everything better. But yeah, it was just like, my gosh, you know, and it's a lot to process because it's just, you're just bombarded with success story after success story after success story, and just like, man, okay, that's cool, good for you.
Yeah, I totally hear you. I kind of felt that way too. It's like, it felt like everyone there was a lot more successful than I am, and it's just mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think you only hear the good things. No one's going to talk about the bad things, so I'm sure of course the people giving the talks here, they're definitely successful, but everyone attending, I mean, everyone's attending for a reason, and they're probably in the same boat as we are, so, and that's why they're there. So I think it just seems, you only hear the good stuff and you don't usually hear the bad stuff. And, you know, that's kind of like why I like to talk to other entrepreneurs as well. I'm sure you do as well, to hear not only the good things, but you got to talk to them about the bad things, because it helps you and other people listening learn from their mistakes. And you're never not going to have mistakes, but, you know, as long as you hear about it and learn from it, and just know that you're not the only one suffering through those types of things.
Yeah. There's other spouses calling their spouse and complaining and crying. I feel the same way. It was like, with all that, I think the comparison trap in America is just, and with social media, is worse now than ever, you know, because comparison is, if you're doing better than someone, then you get a little proud and arrogant. You can tend to, and then if you're not doing as good, then you don't, you get discouraged. And I think a lot of times we're comparing our chapter one or chapter four to somebody else's chapter three or their third book or whatever. And they're just farther ahead. They've just gotten it started earlier. So you have to just stick in there, like, okay, stay in there. Don't just blink those tears away and listen to what they're saying. But yeah, so it was good for sure, though. It was, and I was probably jet lagged too and emotional, you know, but it was still really good. And what was funny too is I had huge wind taken out of my sails. Like, I've been podcasting for probably 3 years with different shows, and, you know, I defined some of my identity in it, and it's important to me. And I have a podcast hosting through Podbean. And so when I would go on, look at their stats, I'm like, man, 66,000 we've had so far since starting a year and a half ago. And we had 7,000 downloads in a month. I'm like, that's great. You know, but we weren't really getting any kind of call to action. You know, no one was talking about it. No one was reaching out or emailing us. And I'm thinking, man, you know, these other shows are getting all these questions. Well, it turns out I emailed Podbean and I was reading the feed hits, which essentially don't mean anything.
Oh.
And so I've been basing, like, for 3 years, my podcasting success in quotes and just reading the wrong data. And so I said, but I don't understand, because when you go to the feed hits, but then you go on the little note, it says downloads, and they're like, oh yeah, that doesn't actually mean downloads. I'm like, I'm so confused. So then I found the actual number. So it went from, like, you know, 76,000 to about 5,000 total in the whole year and a half. And so I found that out, like, 2 weeks before I went, I already had all my Airbnb and my ticket booked and everything purchased. And it's like, oh, you know, so I felt like a failure even more. So it was, but I've rebounded back from it. It really didn't change my drive. It was just like, oh, okay. Kind of took the wind out of my sails, but I still love podcasting, you know?
It was just a hard wake-up call to reality or something.
Yeah, and it was like, well, this, and it actually was like good for me because I'm like, well, I do want to know exactly, and I never want to mislead anybody. I didn't know. I was just interpreting the data wrong, and I thought I was right. So, but what the truth is that what's really good is that we have had record listens we've hit records for our months, and we've had the most listens we've ever had. So when you look at our old a graph compared to when we started, and then now it's you know 4 or 5 times more than when we first started. So it's going the right direction, and we're getting traction all the time. But you know, you just sometimes want to be further along than you are.
Exactly.
You just want to be like arrived, you know. But it's all about the journey. So yeah, I thought I would share that with your audience to you know, just to be as real as possible. But it's good. I mean, I love podcasting. It really doesn't change my mindset, my approach, and we are having record numbers for our show. So I'm like, well, hey, we're going the right direction.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think I'm kind of opposite though. I actually rarely check my numbers. I just don't even want to know just because I know it's not going to be high. So I just rather not know.
Yeah, it's just wait till you're having a really good day or and then just like, okay, nothing can bring me down and then you'll be good. Or
yeah.
Or if you're really sad, then just get it over with. But yeah, no, that's a great mindset. And I should probably stop looking at the numbers.
One thing I wanted to bring up before we wrap up, so I did learn from you actually at the conference was I learned about a new social media tool called Google Docs.
Oh yes, yeah, sweeping the nation.
Yeah, that was a crazy story. So I'd like you to kind of talk about Google Docs and how you use Google Docs for Podcast Movement
to meet people. Yeah, no, it was great. Yeah. So I'm really new to the party here, or whatever the expression is. And my friend Cody Boyce, who runs Podcast Masters and has the Rogue Squadron podcast, he invited me to a Podcast Movement Facebook page. It was like a closed group. And so I was joined in there, and someone made a spreadsheet through Google Docs to do ride shares and also people that are looking to share hotel rooms. So I met this hilarious, great guy named Dave Canyon, who has Dumbing It Down with Dave podcast. He is like the quintessential New Yorker. I mean, he's he's got the accent. He's out just with the people, loving people, saying hi to everybody, complete strangers. We were on a walk. I was like, man, Dave, you're saying hi to everybody. I'm like, I don't understand. It was great though. He's Jewish. He's a truck driver. He was born in Brooklyn. I mean, he's like, he checks all the boxes of, you know, like the stereotypical New Yorker. And I put my name down, my information that I was looking for someone to share a room with, even though I already had the Airbnb. I thought, let me see if I can do this. So Dave reaches out to me, he emails me, and I completely forgot to respond to him. And then luckily he emailed me again. I was like, oh yeah, for sure. So I've been trying to be a little bit more brave and step out and things like that. So just going to conferences like this and sharing a hotel room with a stranger I don't know. And you know, it's a big deal for me. And my wife was a little concerned and his wife was a little concerned. And so we ended up talking for 45 minutes and just hit it off. And he's, you know, he's never met a stranger. He's just a great guy. He knows, it feels like he knows everybody, or he'll talk to everybody. And yeah, so we used Google Docs to split a room, and it saved us a ton of cash. And it was right next door to the Marriott. So we ended up, I probably saved like $150 just from not having to use Airbnb. And then also commuting would have been expensive through Uber. Even though it was 5 minutes away, it still would have taken me a while. And a friend of mine who lives in Huntington Beach, he lived in Anaheim for a while. They actually call it Anacrime, which I didn't know that. So it can be little sketchy on the outskirts, you know, when you start walking. So it's like, oh, okay, that's great that I didn't walk, you know, 7 miles through Anacrime. But yeah, so I met Dave through Google Docs. So I don't know. They have these matchmaking services and, you know, friends, Facebook, all these different things. You know, you should definitely check it out. You never know what you'll find on Google Docs. It's pretty incredible.
I know. I was like, when I heard that story, I was just amazed. It's like someone created like a Craigslist specifically for the conference. And I was I didn't even know about that. And yeah, I would have looked at that too if I had known about it.
Yeah. It's so for next year, I know that. Are you part of the Podcast Movement Facebook page, the group?
I think I am. I just haven't really been checking it before the conference, so I think that's maybe why I didn't see it.
Sure. And there's a ton of posts. There's like 5,000 members, so there's always stuff going on, so it can definitely get lost in the shuffle.
But yeah, I just thought that was a really amazing and funny story.
So weird, yeah.
Yeah, and fortunately it worked out. Everything was good, so...
It's so counterintuitive. It's like using an old, payphone to do business. You're like, why are you going backwards in technology? I don't understand.
I know. I would have thought at least someone would have created, instead of a Google Docs, created a Slack group for podcast moving. That would have made more sense.
Yeah. No way. Excel. Old spreadsheets is the way to do it. So, yeah.
So, that's definitely something new that I learned at the conference.
Yeah, weren't expecting to either. Yeah, I would say too, because I know we're kind of rounding third here, but I would say briefly my favorite takeaway, my two favorite classes. One was Cliff Ravenscraft. Did you check out the podcast Answer Man?
No, I missed that one too. What was that about?
I almost missed it, but it was just how to get, the narcissistic mindset of how to get your show out there to millions of people and blah, 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 make money. But it was super good. And he was really insightful. He had great graphics. And you'll notice when you go to Entrenito, like on iTunes, I used to just say Entrenito podcast with Matt Neff, and that was it. But he said everything, all those words, you get 100 and what's Twitter, 140 characters? So you get 127 characters that you can put on there. So for my podcast, I spruced it up some, and let me try to find it really quick. I changed it from just that to kind of, 9-to-5 side hustle, how to change your life. And, I just try to think of all of these things, going back to the avatar talk of who am I talking to? Who do I want to hear my stuff?
Wait, which section are you referring to for the 127 characters?
So let me pull it up and I can tell you.
Is that like the sub description?
So if you go to Entrenito, or if you go to your iTunes store, the podcast store on iTunes. So I have, it used to just say Entrenito podcast by Matt Neff, but all that is searchable. So now I change it to Entrenito is hosted by Matt Neff, space side hustle space, how to make your jump from the 9-to-5 space, cash flow space, learn entrepreneurial mindsets. And then, from the provider is also, I believe, searchable as well. So to kind of grab people and try to get them to listen, from the provider, it says Entrenito is a weekly business show hosted by Matt Neff that interviews masters of industry. If you're looking to make money through multiple streams of income, side hustles, or make that jump from 9-to-5, this is for you. Each show features a rapid fire round, practical takeaways. This is the place to hear compelling content that will inspire, challenge, and empower you to claim your financial freedom and live a Neato life now. Guests include Shark Tank contestants and NSA agents. So all I had though before was I don't think I had anything there. So based on Cliff's results and what he's found, that if you can put more things into your title and then from the provider, all those things are searchable. So if you would type in cash flow, or if you would type in side hustle, it should come up in the results. So that was to me best of show, if you will.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking at your podcast listing now in the podcast app. So you're referring to the main title.
Yeah.
And instead of just saying Entrenito, now you have all the extra things in there. So that's up to 127 characters.
It's actually to 127. Yeah. Yep. So it's a little bit less than Twitter, like a tweet. So because before my mindset was no, I don't want to do this. Because I want to make people it's easier for people just it's just one word. And it's really easy to remember, but evidently it makes it more searchable to spice it up a little bit. And it challenges you to really focus on your avatar, to think, okay, who am I talking to? And really dig into yourself to figure out what you are and what you're not and who you're going for. So I also put underneath there too, Matt Neff, podcaster, entrepreneur, and mastermind coach. So a great example is if you go over to Cliff Ravenscraft's page, it will show you all the stuff that he's done and how he's done it. So it's definitely heavily inspired from what he did.
And so where did you change it within the official, listing that you submit to?
So I went to Podbean and I did all the editing there through my pod, or not necessarily Podbean, but just whoever your podcast host.
Yeah. And that officially changes it in all of the, Apple Podcast app and all of the other podcast channels as well.
Yeah, okay. And it took probably a day or so, but it all showed up. I was like, this is great. And then you make a change in it, you know, just pretty quick.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to have to do that too, because I wasn't even... I know about titles when you do blog posts and having all that stuff in the blog post. And yeah, you should treat the title in a way like a blog post.
Yeah, and they said, I've been doing show notes, and I've always been torn on show notes. Like, how important are they? Some people barely do anything. Some people do a lot. I think both approaches work. So I'll do a couple paragraphs with some hyperlinks. I'm mostly important, you know, to me, it's important that I share out through my show notes hyperlinks for people that have them on their devices. They can scroll down, click on it, it takes them right to my guest's website or their products or whatever. So that's the biggest part. And then if people want to check out our Patreon or whatever, they can as well near the bottom. But I always thought that was searchable. That's why I was like trying to kind of write a novel when it came to show notes. But they said that those are not searchable. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. So that was a help for me. So I thought, okay, let me do... So I have Podbean pulled up, and I went to my general options, and it says channel title. And so channel title is that really long write-up of Entrenitos hosted by Matt Neff, Side Hustle, how to make... your jump from 9 to 5, cash flow, etc. So that's my channel title. That may translate to other, you know, if you're with Libsyn or whoever, or Blueberry, it may be the same kind of lingo and language there. But yeah, channel title and then brief description is what you want to look into.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good tip. And that was actually one of the, I don't know why I didn't connect the dots for that too, because that was one of the reasons why I started the ColumbusPodcast.com, because since I'm a transplant to Columbus, and I wanted to find out more about Columbus, so the only way I could find podcasts that were about Columbus was if they had the word Columbus in the title. And so some of them did, but a lot of the podcasts I have listed now, like yours, the word Columbus is nowhere in the title, so I would not have ever known that you were in Columbus. So that was part of my motivation for starting a website. But yeah, but this is a good way to, even if your podcast isn't specifically about Columbus, if you can just throw that like at the very end, Columbus, Ohio, maybe somehow that'll get you some leads from people in your city. Well, any city you're in, just putting your city name in there, and that might get, you know, some other listeners.
Yeah, and it'd be great for meetups and things like that too. That really helps. So yeah, the website's awesome. I really appreciate you making that. It's not like, oh, that's nice, Darren, way to go. You know, you put my podcast on your crappy website, but no, it's a great website, dude. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I would say that would be the best in show for me was Cliff Ravencraft. He's a sweet guy, and he does talk quite a bit about himself. He's pretty proud of where he's come, and you know it, and he knows it. So, but really, really great content, really helpful content. And then the other one was Aaron Mankey's keynote. I thought was incredible too, because that was more inspirational. That was more like, yeah, shot in the arm, really helpful for him. So. That was, and then you get a little sad when his first episode was 9 downloads and then it went to 82 million in 2.5 years. You're like, my God, that's a lot of downloads. So, but I'm excited too. Were you in his talk? Did you see his keynote?
No, I missed that too. That's why I really want to get access to all of the recordings. Cause
So I would say Cliff Ravencraft for how to's was great. Another guy I want to mention too, Joel Sharpton from Always Listening Podcast. He actually critiques podcasts. It's a podcast about podcasts. It's really cool.
Oh, really?
Great talk. Make sure you check that out. Joel Sharpton. I always remember like Al Sharpton. It's Joel Sharpton. He's a white guy from like Louisiana, and he's got a great radio voice, like really good radio voice. And a really interesting approach to podcasting as well. So his 3 P's were preparation, participation, post-processing, things like that. So he was really insightful, really nice guy. But yeah, Aaron Mankey's was great. Really good talk, really inspirational, and really neat announcements about him with books and Amazon Prime TV shows, things like that coming out for Lore is going to be really interesting.
Cool. So we're just about wrapping up. Any last thoughts or even for the next podcast movement? So you already, well... Once you get permission from your wife,
once my wife, I make my wife sound like this horrible person. That's it's not her birthday though, so you get a lot of a lot of say. But yeah, I think so. I'd like to go, and I'd like to take some friends with me from Columbus. It's about 7.5 hours away to Philadelphia. I've never been, so I think I'd like to go, kind of knowing what it is now, and it would be a lot cheaper for me not having to buy plane tickets, things like that. And I'd have a car, things like that. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Some quick highlights were. The staff was great. They were very fully staffed with the yellow t-shirts, and it was very easy to tell who works there. Yeah, that was great. The app, actually, the lady's like, oh, we have an app. I was like, oh, of course you do. I'm sure it's horrible. And I didn't say that. I'm not that rude. but it was awesome. I was so impressed with the Podcast Movement app. They did incredible job. It was essentially what we got, the big, giant, full-color catalog.
The booklet, yeah.
Yeah, the booklet. But it was on the phone, and you could do favorites and interact. There's a whole social media news feed, like things, post with people. So it was incredible. As well as, you know, the batching talk from John Lee Dumas and stuff. And I'm kind of jumping around here, but yeah, it was good. So the only things I didn't like was I spent way more money on food than I anticipated in coffee. And because you're just trapped. You can't do anything. You have to eat food. You know?
Yeah, the Starbucks there was just, there's a line constantly pretty much.
Yeah. And they were honestly, I've been to a ton of different Starbucks like all over the nation. And that was probably one of the best ones. They got my order right every time. They said my name right when they like yell it at you, and they were fast. I was shocked. I mean, you'd have 20 people in line, and they had you out in minutes. It was incredible. So they were kudos to them. And then the red eye, that was the worst thing about flying back, was my red eye back from LA.
No.
I got super emotional and whiny to my wife as usual, because I was like, I'm tired. I think, I don't know why. She's like, you're really grumpy. I'm like, yeah, I don't know why. It was the red eye from LA, but yeah. Other than that, it was an incredible conference. I'm so glad I went. And I appreciate you having me on your show. And it was a lot of fun talking about all this stuff. It's always fun talking podcasting.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad for having you on. But yeah, I feel the same way you do. I think anyone that has a podcast, you should definitely go to Podcast Movement. And even if you're just thinking about having a podcast, I would highly recommend that you go, because I did meet a lot of people there that didn't even have a podcast yet, and they were thinking about it.
Yeah, I did too. I was shocked. It's like, wow, you came all the way out here for this. That's incredible. So yeah, I was really cool.
It's definitely even if you don't have a podcast, it's definitely a good way to learn, to meet people that are already doing it, and you can learn, you know, from their mistakes, and they'll definitely give you tips of what to do, how to get started. Yeah, so again, even if you don't have a podcast, I would highly recommend that you go if you're thinking about having a podcast. Yeah, you'll definitely leave with a lot of value and good information.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. So I'm looking forward to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. We shall see if I make it. We'll see.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Matt, for being on and
yeah, my pleasure. Thanks
for chatting with me. Yeah. 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 Don't forget to check out Matt's podcast, Entre Nido. And you release one every week, right?
Yeah, every Wednesday. We have a new episode out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I release on Wednesday too, but just every other Wednesday.
Yeah, our other show is every other Wednesday, but my friends in my mastermind group are like, you got to do every... They said daily. I'm like, calm down, guys. I'm not doing a daily show. But yeah, do every Wednesday.
Unless you're getting paid for it, which...
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I could totally do that. Yeah. Batch them like crazy.
Yeah. Okay, thanks again, Matt.
All right. Thanks,
Darren. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks so much.
I want to thank Matt Neff again for being on my show and sharing his thoughts on Podcast Movement. Don't forget to check out his podcast. It's called Entre Nido, and it's on iTunes, all of the podcast channels, so don't forget to hit it up when you can. If you're interested in checking out Podcast Movement next year, go to podcastmovement.com. Tickets are already on sale for next year's Podcast Movement. It will be in July and in Philadelphia, and the sooner you purchase your tickets, the cheaper it will be. And lastly, don't forget to leave us a review. It will help support the show. And be sure to hit subscribe so you never miss an upcoming episode. Thanks again, as always, for tuning in, and I'll see you in the next one.